It's a Bill King show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I just sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
On Friday, get your notes. Get on by if you happen to be in the area. Tweets on Air Buffalo Wings and Rings. Cool Springs. Mike Griffith is with us from SEC Country and also the AJC. Griff, how you been, bud?
Pretty good, Bill. How are you?
I want to begin because you have a unique knowledge of working in the Big Ten and also downhill, down here, I should say. And you actually covered the Michigan State beat, went school up there. Do you think that D'Antonio and Izzo will survive this mess?
Well, I'm a little unclear what this mess is. I mean, they already survived the cases that ESPN brought up from, I don't know how many years ago. I think it's important for people to kind of look at this closely because the Larry Nassar case, the gymnastics doctor that committed these horrible, that was found guilty of these horrible crimes, that was sentenced recently, that was just a tragedy. I mean, that was a horrible thing that happened, and the Michigan State president and athletic director, both of whom, you know, their reach extended to the point where they were associated with this guy. And they were rightly, you know, they rightly resigned or been dismissed or however you want to look at it. I mean, they were connected to this. There was a direct correlation. So no one is saying that. I mean, that stuff is bad. I mean, but for ESPN to say, and also 8 years ago, this happened with a Tom Izzo staff member. 8 years ago. Wait a minute. So this has already gone to court. This has already been evaluated by legal authorities. This guy already moved on. He hasn't been at the school for 8 years, and he was tried in a court of law, right? And so why does that come up now? Does that have anything to do with the gymnastics doctor? No, it doesn't. Well, they work at the same place. Okay. If I told you, Bill, that something horrible happened in Memphis, and you'd say, oh, my gosh, you know, the governor should have known. Well, 7 years ago in Nashville, this happened. Well, wait a minute. I guess what I'm saying is, how do you connect those dots? So the cases they brought up with D'Antonio and Izzo, this many players were charged. Okay, well, how many were convicted? Was Izzo and D'Antonio, were they the judge? No, they weren't. There's a legal system in place here. I think that there's some sensationalism going on. Now, the case that I'm interested in and that I'm following up there was actually a year ago. And people aren't talking about this, but this is the most recent thing at Michigan State is a year ago, three really talented players, one of them a freshman All-American, named Donnie Corley. These three players were dismissed from the program and charged with raping a girl. And this case has drug out for a year. These players were dismissed from the program almost immediately. The Student Judiciary Committee found them guilty of Title IX violation. They were dismissed from the program even though they hadn't gone to court. They were basically assumed guilty. Not assumed innocent until proven guilty. Assumed guilty. And thrown out of the program quickly, as essentially railroaded out because Michigan State knew, I think, that this Larry Nassar case was coming. So they said, well, we're gonna go the other way on this. And they wrongly, in my opinion, based on what information and evidence has come forward so far, dismissed these players before they went to trial. So they were too – D'Antonio was too aggressive. He fired a staff member who was found innocent, who was originally charged with getting in the way of justice. And then they couldn't prove anything. So they essentially railroaded these four people out of their program before there was a fair trial. And they were too aggressive. In my opinion, they violated the rights. So you said, well, now, wait a minute. Why isn't ESPN reporting on that? That's related to a sexual – because it doesn't go along with the storyline, that there's too much tolerance. Do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of – to me, it would be inconvenient for them to report that happened a year ago. But that's the most recent sexually related activities that have the potential for judging a coach. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're going to try and view the program in its entirety, then you need to include all the events, not just the ones that would suggest there's a certain kind of tolerance there. You can't overlook that. You can't pretend like a year ago these three kids weren't rushed out of the program. I want to keep an eye on that because in following it, it looks like this prosecution, their case is falling apart. These players – likely, based on what I'm hearing, I mean, they could be innocent. And if they're innocent and they got dismissed from the program, then what does that say about Michigan State? Well, it says that they're too aggressive. It says they're not fair to their student-athletes. And, I think it was just when I was covering the team just a few years ago, ESPN did this really good report looking at all the schools to see if the student-athletes got more lenient sentences and treatment than the regular students or more harsh. And at Michigan State, based on ESPN's study, they were viewed to be treated the same as the rest of the student body. So I guess what I'm saying is if you want to look at all the evidence and be, in my mind, if you're going to be a journalist, you can't just selectively choose what you put in a story. Once you do a story on it, you got to look at all of it, right? I mean, and I don't feel like ESPN's done that in this case. I feel like that there was some – where football and basketball were concerned, I feel like there was sensationalism. Now, where the Nassar is concerned, it was horrible. That's a tragedy. That's awful. I mean, that is a huge fail by Michigan State, by their board of trustees, by their president, by their athletic director. But unless D'Antonio and Izzo were privy – so what was going on with that gymnastics coach or had some administrative control or power over it, I think it's sensationalizing to try to attach their programs and things that happened 8 and 5 years ago to that. That doesn't seem responsible to me.
Mike Griffith with us from the AJC and also SEC Country. We'll bring it back down south some up on Rocky Top with a week and a day out for the next signing period coming up. How does Tennessee stand in recruiting? What are you seeing?
Well, they're currently ranked 19th in the team rankings, and they just got a commitment from a 3-star defensive back yesterday out of New Orleans. And it's a need position. Nobody wants to hear that they're not where they need to be, but – they're not where they need to be. I mean, in where they need to be is with, like, 6 guys that could play right away. So where you need to be and what's realistic are 2 different things. Now, that said, I think Jeremy Pruitt's done a good job. So is it possible to say that Jeremy Pruitt has done a really good job but they're not where they need to be? Absolutely. Because, Tennessee's losing 4 defensive backs in this class, to graduation or the draft. And you've only got 1 committed so far. So the numbers tell you, well, you better get some more. So, I know people bristle and get upset if I say Tennessee's not where they need to be. But, I think if Tennessee fans are realistic with themselves, and if they're saying that what constitutes a good season at Tennessee is winning the SEC East, then you better get a roster that's capable of winning the SEC East. And I don't see one right now. I don't see a roster right now that can win the SEC East division next year. In fact, the roster that I'm looking at right now would do well to go to a bowl game, in my opinion. So Tennessee needs to get more impact players. I think Jeremy Pruitt's come in. He was hired on December the 7th. He had 13 days to put together an early signing class. I thought he did a really good job with that, especially under those circumstances. And I think he's done well to get Tennessee in the top 20 in their recruiting rankings right now. But I believe they still need to get a graduate transfer quarterback, because I don't see a quarterback on this roster right now returning, of the two returning, or the commitment that's not going to show up until June, that can lead Tennessee to a 500 record in the SEC. So in my mind, they need to add some DBs from a number standpoint for the class, and they need to get a quarterback that can win in the SEC.
I was going to ask you, I saw an article, and I don't know, I don't think it was yours, but it was an article that had an anonymous SEC coach saying that Jeremy Pruitt was a better, now this is defensive coordinator, because he hadn't been a head coach yet, than Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the headline and the source, and I didn't read it.
You just you didn't go any further with it. I figured
well,
it wasn't
I mean,
you.
You know, you got to discriminate. I mean, if you're, you got to know who's who and who writes what. And
right.
So no, because I know what it is. I mean, it's garbage. Not to say that that point couldn't be true. Listen, if you look at what Jeremy accomplished as a coordinator, you know, the four national titles, you know, Florida State and three at Alabama, then yeah, that certainly has the look of a guy who's done a pretty great job. But it's really hard to measure, you know, Jeremy against Kirby Smart or Nick Saban. I mean, well, if you look at Nick Saban's career as a defensive coordinator, I guess you could say that Jeremy's accomplished more. But Nick Saban's been his head coach, and so has Jimbo Fisher. It's always hard, you know, to assimilate who is the, you know, who should be responsible for the success, because these men work as a group, Bill. They work as a team. They sit in a room together, and they're all a part of it. You know, I always get a kick out of people say last year, you know, oh, Tennessee's offense, you know, oh, that was so – Butch Jones' offense, it was so terrible. He's a terrible offensive coach. Well, the year before they set a school record for single-season offense. Oh, well, that was the coordinator, Mike DeBoer. It all goes together. And as much as it has to do with the coaches, it's got to do with the players. I mean, it all goes – it's like a recipe. Like trying to bake a cake, you know, you got to have it all, right? It takes everything. It's got to have the right ingredients. It's got to be prepared properly. And then it's got to be cooked properly at the right temperature for the right time, right? It's a process. It's a process to build a football team. And it takes all of those components together. They're all important. And certainly you want the best ingredients, the freshest ingredients, and you want the most meticulous preparation, and then you want the best baking component, whether it's a stone oven or whatever, right? But it takes all those things. So I would say that Jeremy Pruitt proved himself as one of the finest defensive coordinators in the country. And now we're going to see what he does as a head coach. And so far, I've talked to some people over there, and the reviews have been that this is a no-nonsense guy who will tell kids, hey, you can't play for me. And he doesn't waste much time. He doesn't waste much energy. And when he speaks, he's pretty direct. And that's what people are going to find out, I think, over the next 6 months, is that Jeremy Pruitt, essentially, and in my dealings with him in New Orleans and Atlanta when I covered him at those bowl games, he takes the shortest distance between two points in his communication. And there's not a lot of wasted words, and there's not a lot of wasted time. And that's what you're going to see out of Jeremy Pruitt. Now, there will be some collateral damage out of that. Some things won't go smoothly. He may say something from time to time that offends somebody. But he's not wasting any time on fools. And he's going to step on some people between here and where he wants to go.
I wanted to also take you back to Kiffin real quick. Earlier on the show, we were discussing players who did not sign. And again, until this year, we didn't have that early signing period for just all the high school kids. It was just a midterm or junior college. But players that waited, and I was just thinking more recently, Terrell Pryor waited a while. It was either Ohio State or Penn State, and he signed. I think it was April or May, but it was a while. Roquan Smith was set to go to UCLA, didn't sign, ended up signing with Georgia, and, of course, was super this year and will turn pro. But I knew there was one under Kiffin, and that was Bryce Brown. Do you remember when he signed that year?
I think David Okwu was another one that we had to sign. I think he actually had two. I think it was like a month later, something like that.
Right. That's what I thought. And his brother Arthur was at Miami but was leaving to go to Kansas State, or was he already at Kansas State? I couldn't remember that either.
I thought he transferred there, but I could be wrong, Bill. That was, what, 2009, right?
It's been a while, yeah. But Bryce Brown definitely did not sign on signing day, correct? It was a while.
Well, he's not the only one. I mean, it happens. You know, players can wait. I think they have until, I want to say, April 1st.
Well,
the window used to be.
That's just for the national letter. They can just not sign and just sign scholarship players. Now, again, you've got to be really powerful to be able to do that.
Well, and also you got to be willing to foot your own bill because, you know, when that recently happened in the last couple of years, the deal was if you wanted to come to school and report with all the other guys in June or July, you'd have to pay your own way if you didn't sign that national letter.
Right. Oh, there's a catch. There's a catch there for sure. Yeah, so Bryce Brown, you're saying it's about – I remember waiting, but you're saying it's about a month, something like that.
Seems like, yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you, Griffiths.
How'd that work out?
Well, he actually was – is he? I don't even know if he's still in the NFL, but he actually was a better pro, wasn't he, than a college player, briefly.
Briefly, you know, briefly. But I remember his recruiting film was great. I mean, he looked great, but – you know, a lot of those Kiffin guys, they didn't really pan out.
And remember, Newkeese Richardson, remember how good he was supposed to be?
Yeah, I remember the trouble that they got in at Tennessee. I remember the way the culture changed for the worse. Tennessee's still trying to recover from Lane Kiffin. I remember the 3 years of NCAA investigation from Lane Kiffin and the probation that went through 2014 from Lane Kiffin. He was an absolute disaster at Tennessee. He was the equivalent of a nuclear spill at Tennessee. Now, obviously, he did some good things as a coordinator at Alabama, but, I mean, who hasn't, right? And I guess we're going to see what he does without Kendall Briles now down there at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, he hired Baby Weiss to take that job. Charlie.
Well, that's why I said we're going to see what he can do, because there's a big difference between Kendall Briles in terms of being a proven coordinator and the guy that he's got there right now. So I'd say over the next 2 or 3 years, Lane will really have an opportunity to prove himself again. Another opportunity, I should say, to prove himself as a head coach.
Griff, we'll see you next week, man.
Appreciate it, Bill.
There he is. Griff joins us every Tuesday in that slot. I don't know if the Cosby Cattleman was monitoring, but if he was just then and he heard the words that Griff used about his boy Kiff, I assume he'll be checking in here shortly. We'll see. I know he baited it quite well for the Cosby Cattleman. Perhaps a response. You know how tonight you've got the State of the Union and then the other side has their response? That's kind of Cosby and Griff. Same analogy, except Cosby and Griff are way more important in our world. That's the way we look at it. Lifeinsurancewithjason.com. That's a site you need to link. That's a site you need to go into and look around. Lifeinsurancewithjason.com. He covers every situation with you. And just to reiterate, in this day and time, almost all of this is done electronically, online. It's not going to some office and meeting somebody. It's getting to know somebody over the phone. And I'm telling you now, you're going to love Jason. Nicest family man who is there for your best interest. So these various categories we talk about, you could be somebody totally healthy putting it off life insurance. How many mistakes have we seen people make doing that? It won't take you that long. You need to look at that right now. It'll be done, and then you can get on with your healthy, good life. Fantastic. Maybe you've got pre-existing conditions, and you're just making an assumption that you can't get covered, or if they do get you covered, it's going to cost you too much money. It's not going to be worth it. Not the case. That's also misunderstood. Or maybe you've got a policy, but you've only got a few years left on it. It's not smart to wait a year out. If you're 5 years out or something, check with him now. You may see a better deal, a better situation, and transitioning into a fresh policy. All those different situations he handles. And back to pre-existing, he gave us a long list of pre-existing conditions where he's gotten people cleared just recently for reasonable, very affordable life insurance. Don't assume it can't be done for you. Don't. Lifeinsurancewithjason.com. That is spelled just like it sounds. Go to that site. All the contact information is right there. Check that out. The Cosby Cattleman, I am told, is on hold. He is up on these airwaves when we continue. We're brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. We're still looking live at this heavy traffic trying to get in through Donaldson right now here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane. It's just a challenge this time of the morning, of course, trying to get from the airport side of town to downtown. We got a few wrecks out here. Greenbrier at Ridgewood, that's one of the latest. Sawyer Brown Road at Williamsport, that wreck is in its clearing stages. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out. It's ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 4ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.4ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 4ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Discover a new level of relaxation at Mokara. It's your chance to revive, rejuvenate, and restore amidst the welcoming tranquility of our award-winning destination spa. We invite you to sample our extensive spa offerings, including massage therapy, facials, body treatments, salon services, and so much more. Experience refined relaxation at Mokara Spa, located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel. For an appointment, simply call 615-761-3600.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
How do you say the guy's name? Tua Tagovailoa. 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 How do you say it?
I've been practicing Papanastas. Tagovailoa. I don't know. Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. There you go.
Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa.
Okay.
There you go. You're going to have to practice that.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Nashville weather.
Here's a look at your Skywatch weather forecast. For today, sunny, high in the lower 40s. Tonight, it's going to be clear and cold, low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little bit warmer, high tomorrow in the mid-50s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, windy conditions, low in the lower 40s. And it looks like a chance of rain in the forecast on Thursday and Thursday night. I'm Commander Chuck with your Skywatch weather.
Spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
We'll be at the Omni on Friday. The Cosby Cattleman has these airwaves. Welcome in.
Bonjour, Monsieur King.
Bonjour.
Hey, Bill, I think we got a five-alarm worry here with Griff. I think he needs to get down to the nearest emergency room and get tested for radiation.
Slanderous on your boy there.
He was talking about a nuclear spill
yeah.
with Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Griff missed the nuclear spill. There was one over here, Bill. It happened in 2002 when Kelly Washington ruined Former's 2002 team, and it was a six-year cleanup until Former got fired in 2008. Griff was exposed to radiation for 6 years. Bill, I'm worried about him. There was a nuclear spill.
And it's just now kicking in on him.
Yeah, he's radiated, and he doesn't know it. He got Former radiated. 6 years of it. That's bad, Bill. He needs to get checked out. It's affected his brain. He was riffing Kiffin for no reason. I'm afraid it's in the later stages.
What do you think happened with him and Kiffin? He doesn't like Kiff.
Bill, I love Griff, and I think I learn a lot when I listen to him usually. But he, like most people, he's a complete idiot when it comes to Lane Kiffin. You know, Bill, he was talking towards the end of his interview there about Lane Kiffin maybe trying to prove himself as a head coach again. Maybe Griff missed the 2017 season where Kiffin went 10-3, ripped the Conference USA to shreds, won his bowl game 50-3, and had a hell of a year. You ever heard somebody win a bowl game 50-3, largest point spread in bowl game history? Lane Kiffin's already proved himself, Griffin, you moron. It hurts me to say it, Bill. I compare Kiffin derangement syndrome to Trump derangement syndrome. I'm not going to get political with you, Bill, but the hatred for Lane Kiffin, it causes people who are otherwise pretty smart journalists to look like complete fools. Lane Kiffin, if you don't want to hear it from me, get Slaybaugh on your show. Maybe Slaybaugh can clue Griff in. Slaybaugh's on ESPN saying it's just a matter of time until Kiffin gets the big job. The only person that apparently Kiffin hadn't proved he's a hell of a coach to is Griff.
What about your boy Hugh Freeze?
You know who Griff needs to call up, ask him if Kiffin can coach or not. Call up Baby Bowden. What do you think Terry Bowden thinks about Lane Kiffin's coaching skills?
Hung a 50 spot on him.
I think Griff was on that Auburn beat for a while too, wasn't he? I bet you Griff would tell you Terry Bowden's a good football coach, but he'll tell you Lane Kiffin's not. How stupid can you be?
You think Terry Bowden's been missing any meals up there at Akron?
I tell you what, man. And you know, Bill, I don't want to. We do this all the time, but I mean, maybe Griff needs to go back to 2008. Phil Former had a losing season, got beat by Wyoming, got fired. Lane Kiffin came to town, turned Jonathan Cronson into a pro quarterback, went 7-5 in the regular season, got outmatched in his ball game. Lane Kiffin had a hell of a year at Tennessee. He was so good, he got a big raise in the USC job, one of probably the top two or three college football programs in America historically. If Lane Kiffin did such a bad job, Griff, why'd he get a big promotion, a big raise, and move to L.A.? Do you think Mike Garrett might know a little something about Lane Kiffin? How long was Lane Kiffin out there in L.A., Bill, under Pete Carroll? 10 years? You think the Trojans might know a little something about Lane Kiffin? By the way, I listened to that. Your boy Ryan Abraham, Sam, I follow that. He's got a great podcast, the Peristyle Podcast. Yeah. I kind of like a little West Coast sushi, you know, with my George Dickel, Bill.
Right.
You know who's got egg on his face? Everybody laughs about Kiffin getting fired on the tarmac out there. You know who's the real idiot on that whole situation when it's all said and done? Pat Hayden. But Pat Hayden said that was one of the worst ADs in American big-time college history. He was terrible. You remember when Pat Hayden went out there on the field and was harassing officials? What a clown.
That was the Notre Dame game, I think.
Well, I had to get that off my chest, Bill. You know, I learned something on the Michigan State stuff, though. That does seem like that's a lynch mob mentality. I hate lynch mobs. But bottom line, I was going to give Griff a big credit, an A for his appearance today, and then he showed he's got nuclear poisoning, so I'm going to have to give him a big fat F.
Yeah, right there at the end, man. It was a doozy. Now, which Dickel are you recommending today?
Well, you know, we got the Super Bowl coming up here, Bill, so you might want to try a little barrel select, but I just say stick with the 12. Crazy Charlie's replacement said you put a picture up on Twitter. I went and took a look at it. You look good with that bottle of 12 there. You need to do that more often.
Yeah, I had it on set with me, and then I had another picture while I'm just hugging it. Did you see that?
Hey, you keep the Dickel 12 around and keep using the shampoo, and you have women all around the Southern Steak and Oyster.
Yeah.
Kiffin for life, Bill, 50-3. See you.
All right, bye. if I could get Kiffin and Hugh Freeze on together and let Kiffin share the interview with me? Like, Kiffin ask Hugh some questions. What if Hugh answers questions and then Kiffin remembers some of the people he's talking about? That'd be a good one. See, the thing with Kiff, Kiff's single and go do what he wants to do, man. So do you think 3 years from now, now Kiff's back in already, and Kiff did his tutelage under Saban, and now he's down there in Boca, and he's another good season away from leaving Boca and upgrading significantly his job, wherever that might be. That's obvious. Hugh Freeze probably heading the same direction. He'll tutor under Saban, be an offensive analyst, and then he'll get his crack at it again. Whether I get to know him better or not, whether I take him up on that or not. Here's my question, though. Who do you think ends up ultimately with the better gig when it's all said and done? From here forward, from right now forward, Kiffin or Freeze? Wherever their coaching takes them from this moment forward now, this moment forward, not Kiffin was at Southern Cal and Freeze was at Ole Miss. From this moment right here, starting line is right now. Who do you think ultimately ends up with the best gig? Now, Kiffin's, and what's the word I'm looking for? His clock is ahead of Hugh Freeze because he's already back in. So he's got to jump on him. So I'm not talking about who gets there first, because we can't even go there. Kiff's already there first, and he'll get the better opportunity next year, I would assume. I would assume. Now, but if we look, let's say we can go 10 years out from now. Starting point is today. Who ends up with the ultimate better head coaching gig? Whether it's one stop or two stops, etc. Kiffin or Freeze? That's a really good question. I'm going to go against the grain. I don't know what a lot of you are thinking. I'm going to go with Kiffin. Maybe a lot of you are thinking Kiffin, but Hugh Freeze did a really good job at Ole Miss on the field. Now, there's a lot to talk about elsewhere there, right? But you can look at him. If you can get past all the stuff, if you look at him, he was a good coach. And also, you got to keep in mind, Ole Miss is a tough gig. Now, it's a great southern town. It's a fun place, man. And it's beautiful. I love everything about it. But it's not one of the more attractive SEC gigs. If you're ranking the 14, if you're ranking the 14 jobs in the SEC, 1 through 14, Ole Miss would probably be somewhere between 10 and 14, right? You may not have them in the 14 slot, but they would be somewhere in the double digits between 10 and 14 as far as attractive jobs. Now, again, I don't mean if you're from Oxford or you're from Jackson, you've loved Ole Miss your whole life and that's your favorite place, and you go, no, I mean objectively looking at it, just all things equal, it would be ranked somewhere in the bottom third of the league, bare minimum. And it's a really good job, and I'm talking about comparatively speaking inside the SEC. It's a damn good job. They're paying the new head coach, or the recently assigned head coach, Matt Luke, what? I think I saw where he's in the threes. That's not what a lot of the SEC coaches make. It's still damn good money. It's a good question, though. Good question. But I think right now, Kiff, I don't know where Hugh will end up. Markham says, Bill, Kiff does bring the swaggered baggage, though. Yeah, but I know the old adage when you were growing up, and our parents would tell us, well, if everybody went and jumped off a cliff, would you do that too? You know, when you bring up the old, well, so-and-so gets to do it, why don't I? And then they bring up the old, well, what if they all decide to jump off a cliff? You going with them? Remember that one? What I was about to say is, with the swagger baggage with Hugh, if we eliminated every coach, let's just say, right now, here's another question for you, and we got to get a break. If right now we decided to be the moral authority and we took all 128, 129 D1 head football coaches, whatever that number is, let's just call it 130, round it off, and we decided morally that we were going to fire every head coach that had cheated on their wives or wife, how many coaches would we have left? Of that 130, how many coaches would we have available in that group to continue on? Because now, since we're the moral authority, we're going to fire them all. Now, he was involved way more than that. I mean, he was NCAA stuff, et cetera, and again, he didn't get hit as hard as people thought he might, but it was on his watch when all this stuff went down. Let's put it that way. The phone call down to Tampa was just the coup. That was the, oh, got it now. You're looking for something? Got it there. It's over. Can't get by this. Yeah, if we took all 130 and said, any head coach who's cheated on their wife, cheated, period, calls to Tampa, wherever, you got to go. How many do you think we'd have left? Probably, would we even have 50% left, you think? Would we have 30% left? I don't know. So I think people will get by that with you. What I'm saying. I'm guessing. All right, got to get one more, actually two more breaks, right? Coming right back. Time to do a little profit taking. It's the show, Bill King, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still very sluggish here as we check it out live on 40 westbound here at Spence Lane, trying to get in from Hermitage Donaldson, headed towards downtown. Greenbrier Ridgewood, Sawyer Brown Road at Williamsport. They're trying to clear up those two wrecks as we speak. Now, for a limited time, switch to Cricket. Get a free phone, car charger, earpiece. Go by the Cricket Wireless store today. They'll explain everything at 904 Murfreesboro Road. From the GimmeA5.com Traffic Center, I'm Commander Chuck.
When was the last time you did something fun with family and friends, even coworkers? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers entertainment for all ages? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, with five centers in Middle Tennessee, is just the place. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Visit them online at strikeandsparebowling.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter, or see them in Hendersonville, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
It's just like in sales. You got to believe in a product. I have to transfer that enthusiasm about what I'm representing to you. And Mike Vrabel did that. He conveyed not only the fact that he has confidence, the beliefs, the experiences in his past. Although he has not been a head coach, my gut tells me he can be successful.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville's Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
I'm the Nashville Hotel. We're going to be there on Friday at Kitchen Notes. Love to see you. Steven down there in Atlanta says Lane Kiffin for sure when I asked the question about him or Freeze getting the better gig, ultimately. He says Power 5 next year, Upper Pac-12, 2 or 3 years later, says best Freeze will have is Memphis. You know what? That is an excellent thought about Freeze. Would that not be? Now think about it. He was coach at Briarcrest. He was the coach at Lambeth. He was the coach at Ole Miss and then went to Jonesboro and then came back. So that whole area, I mean, Memphis is very close to Oxford. I mean, real close, very convenient. But that whole area is, that's his. I mean, he's from there. He's very successful in that whole area. So let's say 3 years or so from now, Memphis is looking for a coach. Wouldn't that be about the time? Now, here's the one I don't know. I don't know about his relationships with everybody. I don't know of any burned bridges there. I know the preacher's from Memphis, right? I think they go to church up there, but that's a really good idea. I hadn't even thought of that. Tutor under Saban for a couple of years, maybe a year. I don't know. That Memphis, look, if you're Memphis, you've already seen him win. Now, there's some circumstances there you may want to question. But the next time you need a gig, next time you need a coach, that is a really good idea. And I think he would probably do well there. Now, Memphis is already doing well. That's a job that, admittedly, because I'd seen so many coaches go through there, and the best they could do would be maybe a 7-5, a 6-6, something like that. I saw Tommy West go down there. Now, he went into Arkansas and got a hell of a running back, D'Angelo Williams. But it was always just treading water almost with that job. And you got to remember with Tommy, they really wouldn't support him. They really wouldn't put anything behind it. He was pretty mad about that. And of course, Fuente did a really good job, and they're doing well now. But I got to admit, there was a time where I thought, you're just not ever going to win there. You're just never going to get anything done at Memphis. And I had a couple people say, no, Bill, you just got to get the right people, and you got to get backing because You have to remember down there, you've got FedEx money, and you got AutoZone money right there. I mean, there's a lot of money that if they like you, there is incredible riches of support. AutoZone, corporate, right there. FedEx, right there. So, you get their support, and you're in good shape. Tommy never felt like he got it. And Tommy's been up here at middle for a while as the defensive line coach and is very happy up there. Anyways, that's interesting. Yeah, Steven, outstanding point there, my friend. I wasn't even thinking about that. If I get lucky and Hugh comes on the show, which I think that's fading with every breath, okay? I'm just... I'll ask him about that. I'm sure he'd like to have that gig. Not a bad gig anymore. And they're paying him now, I think about 1.9 or something like that there. One more break. Let's get it on this Tuesday edition. Again, we'll be at the Omni on Friday. Omni Nashville Hotel.
What if I told you a small-time coach rose through the ranks to build an empire in Oxford? What if I told you God had his heart, but the devil had his phone? ESPC 30 for 30 presents When Hugh Freezes Over.
Good morning. Still very sluggish here as we check it out live on 40 westbound here at Spence Lane, trying to get in from Hermitage Donaldson, headed towards downtown. Greenbrier Ridgewood, Sawyer Brown Road at Williamsport. They're trying to clear up those two wrecks as we speak. Now, for a limited time, switch to Cricket. Get a free phone, car charger, earpiece. Go by the Cricket Wireless store today. They'll explain everything at 904 Murfreesboro Road. From the GimmeA5.com Traffic Center, I'm Commander Chuck.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-709-2413 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-709-2413. Again, that's 800-709-2413.
When it comes to professional banking in Nashville, there's a new benchmark, Landmark Bank. Landmark Bank is now open on Music Row and is professionally managed by local financial experts John Morrissey and Robin Henderson. When you're ready to see banking differently, call John or Robin at 651-7280. That's 651-7280. Or learn more online at landmarkbanktn.com. Music Row's new landmark, Landmark Bank. Professional and personal banking for sports, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. See banking differently.
Hey, this is Greg Pogue inviting you to join me Sunday mornings at 9 right here on 560 AM on 95.9 FM for the Tennessee State University Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Franklin American Mortgage, featuring Tigers coach Dana Board and Lady Tigers coach Jessica Kern. Keep up with the Tigers and Lady Tigers throughout the season on the TSU Basketball Coaches Show, also brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery, Pepsi, the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Nissan, Tennessee Orthopedic Alliance, and McDonald's. That's the TSU Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Franklin American Mortgage, every Sunday morning at 9.
Nashville weather. Here's a look at your Skywatch weather forecast. For today, sunny, high in the lower 40s. Tonight, it's going to be clear and cold, low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunny, a little bit warmer, high tomorrow in the mid-50s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, windy conditions, low in the lower 40s. And it looks like a chance of rain in the forecast on Thursday and Thursday night. I'm Commander Chuck with your Skywatch weather.
The number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Such a beautiful face. I wanted love, but not for
tomorrow. We'll be hanging out with Kevin Hagan. 7 o'clock, we'll talk Bama with him. And at 8, Mr. Josh Newberg. Very, very good show for you tomorrow. A lot of good topics to hang out with. And we will talk a little more recruiting. Obviously, with that being literally starting tomorrow, a week out, 1 week, 1 week away from the signing period, which starts there in February, and a big day for many. For me now, it's been a buzzkill. It hasn't been nearly as fun. I know it's not about me. They don't make the rules, so I'll be happy. I get all that. I'm not TV Ted. I get it. But it's just the buzzkill, man. January just hasn't been nearly as fun for me. Boo-hoo. I'll just have to get past it, right? I'll have to find something else to occupy me more in January, like NBA basketball. Maybe even a little college basketball. Well, I watched more college basketball last Saturday than I have in quite some time. I did. I broke many rules by doing that. But I needed something, man. Watched that, and I watched Tiger and golf, and that was pretty fun, too. And the weather was not bad outside. Now, it's gotten colder here now, but anyways. Then on Thursday, Wilt Fong talking recruiting, bottom of the hour. Chris Landry. Landry, I think, is finally back home. He had the East-West. He also had the Senior Bowl. But he's back home in Baton Rouge. And then, of course, on Friday at the Omni, we will be hanging out with Mr. Brad Powers. And handicapping with him. So that's the way it looks right now. No word, in case you're just holding your breath on this, no word from Hugh Freeze. I was hoping we could get old Hugh. It's fading. We're 96 hours and counting out on that last conversation with him, and I've heard nothing. Nothing. I'm betting that he's not coming on. That's where my money is right now. I've had a negative attitude there. I thought that when we were in that conversation on Friday, initiated by him, that was my chance to get him. And now that we're fading away into oblivion since that conversation, I think I'm losing market share there. I don't think it's going to happen. He has not said no, but silence is doing the speaking. His silence is deafening right now concerning the opportunity to come on this show, Mr. Hugh Freeze. And I was not going to attack him or ambush him, not at all. Told him up front, I won't do that to you. But do want to hear what you have to say, and I don't want to do it in private. I have no interest in doing that privately. I want to do that on these airways. I want to do it in front of you folks so you can hear it too. Whatever he's got to say. Probably wouldn't be too riveting, but we could get into that a little bit with him. We'll see where that one goes. We'll see how that one ends up. Griff was interesting because it sounds like he doesn't think anything's going to happen to Izzo or D'Antonio. And I understand his side of it there. But I tell you, when the buzzards/media start circling like that, and they start digging up stuff on you, in their cases, and I think they're both good coaches, but mistakes were made. Sometimes that's tough to overcome. Got to remember now, the AD's out. The president's out. You may say, well, those are different circumstances. I get it. But those are very powerful names. I'll go back. Mark Hollis, the AD who stepped down, there was talk about him being the replacement someday when Jim Delaney steps down as the Big Ten commissioner. Like we mentioned, that's not happening now. That has no chance of happening now. Not at all. So I'm not sure. I don't know what to think about D'Antonio and Izzo. We may head up to East Lansing tomorrow and get somebody on from up there. Dig in there a little bit further. 97.7 down there in the Rocket City. Also the local mothership, WNSR. We are sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel, the place where we will be on Friday at Kitchen Notes. It's a little chilly here down south now, not quite as cold as where Charlie was coming from up in Minnesota and all that pond hockey. But here's my point. If you're out there cooking today on your grill, it's a Tuesday. Why not? You're out cooking on the grill. Remember, if you can, fat side up. Lodge Pop.
Bill King Show, brought to you by the palatial, lovely Omni Nashville Hotel.